none of you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down, hand over my crown, hand over my heart. I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. Turning the track up, I'll never go back down. Hand over my heart, I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is a talk show where we bring you the fun facts about fitness, health, diet, and exercise. This is episode number 79, and I am your host, Mike Ercolano, and I'm here with my usual co-host, Kelly Krause.
Hello, everybody.
And today we are bringing you a topic on nutrition, but not only on nutrition, but on mental health, right? Which is a big topic recently. But first, I do just want to apologize to you because I already mentioned this to you outside, but I haven't showered in 2 days, and you've been stuck in this room with me for over an hour already, and now we're just starting a podcast now. So if my stench is bad in this hot room, this non-circulating room.
No, yes, tight room.
Yeah, and so I do apologize. I'm not just dirty. I just, got new glass on our around our tub, so we got to let it dry or whatever.
When can you shower?
When I go home today.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. So but it was just like a 24-hour thing.
Yeah. I didn't plan ahead, though. So I'm on my second workout with no shower.
That's gross.
Yeah. And probably about a half of a stick of deodorant.
Nice.
So, so moving along with our mental health conversation.
Yeah.
I just figured I'd apologize on air because I was just thinking about it now because, we've been here for a while. I can't really.
Oh, all right. Then you're good. If you can smell yourself, that's a whole different level.
Yeah, it's true. I'm also not checking. I'm keeping my arms down at my side.
Okay. So, well, yeah, just stay like that.
I'll wait till later. Okay. I'll wait till I'm walking around ShopRite and then I'll clear the aisles out. All right. So anyway, back to the topic. We're talking today about mental health, depression, more specifically, and how food and diet and nutrition can affect that for the good or for the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you brought this up and you wanted to talk about this topic because you, found something in a book you're reading or is it an article you were reading? And I think it's definitely an important topic. All right. So it's from Eating Well.
Eating Well, Eating for Happiness.
Okay. Is that a book or a magazine?
It's a magazine. They put out kind of like these types of things. They have one on gut health. Every month I end up buying one.
Oh, so they're like at the supermarket, speaking of ShopRite. Yep. So like they're on the way out.
Yes.
Next to all the Dr. Oz
No, they're in the book section. So, like, if you go to Walmart, it's in the book section.
Gotcha. Okay.
You won't see it near the checkout because it's a little bit more education behind it than Dr. Oz and whatever he
tabloids.
Has to say this week. Yeah. Is he running for president, by the way?
Did you hear that? I think it was
or something.
He ran for Congress, Senate, something.
He ran for something. No, no go.
Locally, no. I think he won.
Oh, he did.
I think he won the seat, or maybe maybe not mayor. I don't know. He won something locally, but I don't know. He's a snake in the grass, so I don't trust that guy. When he was running, he got Trump's support or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he won the seat, he took it back and was like, I changed
politician.
My mind.
Yeah,
changed my
go.
Mind. I don't want to be associated with Trump. Like, you probably won
Typical.
The seat because Trump, vouched for you. Mm-hmm. I think Trump like swept the whatever primaries or whatever. And then he takes it back. Like, I just don't trust the guy.
No.
What makes him want to run for politics?
I have no idea.
He's got it all, like money wise, and like I don't know. Obviously, there's an incentive there, but that's not what this show's about.
No.
But yes, Dr. Oz is trying to become president or something. In our country, because that's exactly what we need is more actors becoming politicians. Just like, have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
No.
You gotta see it. It's an older movie. It's like, I don't know, maybe from the 90s, early 2000s. But it's basically the premise is a guy who he gets like frozen, like chronologically frozen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's just like, he's like part of the military experiment. And he's like a regular soldier that I think maybe he's like the low level soldier that like they experimented.
Okay.
And he wakes up like, I don't know, 100,000 years in the future or whatever. And society has gotten so dumb that he's the smartest guy on the planet.
Oh, interesting.
Or at least in the country or whatever. And like the president is like a WWE wrestler, which like it's all like celebrities. They drink like Gatorade, essentially. Their Gatorade is in toilets and water because they think it's better for you because it has electrolytes and or something like that. I forgot the whole, but like it's really funny, but it's spot on. It's like we're
headed that way.
Yeah, this movie was 20 years ago, and you know, we have actors as politicians, and you know, a lot of stupid people running running things on all levels, not just in politics, but everywhere.
It's like whenever you see actors and actresses speak out about who they're endorsing, like, who cares?
Well, right.
What makes you think Carrie Underwood or anyone?
But people do care. People listen to them. Look at these actors, actresses, celebrities, musicians as like. Like gods, like they take their word for like
what, guess.
Like they're some like more noble than we are, because you know, in fact, they're probably like the nerds in school, right? The geeks, the nerds, who now you know have pretended their whole lives to be somebody else for a living, and has now paid millions of dollars and billions of dollars in some cases to pretend to be somebody else, and now we're taking their opinion on politics or on the way things should be run. It's I agree. It's ridiculous in that sense.
I don't even want to hear what they have to say.
No, I generally or genuinely do not care. I do not care, right? Unless you want to have like, but it doesn't matter if it's a politician or you know my next door neighbor. If you want to have a real conversation about things, I'll sit down and have a real conversation. Sure. But if you're gonna use your, you know, celebrity status with your 4 million followers, like LeBron James, he is 100% paid to say a lot of the stuff he says.
Really?
Look at the companies that back him; like they're all those like super woke company, like Nike. Like Nike, the big one of they definitely pump all this because they got all their products being made for 1 cent an hour in China.
Right.
So of course they want us to. You know, stay out of communism because they don't want us to, you know, anyway, it's they want to push the agenda and they pay like LeBron James should have absolutely zero say on anything to do with politics. He's a basketball player, right? He's a basketball player.
Yeah.
But everything that comes out of his mouth is political.
Yeah.
Right. Like and I'm not saying he shouldn't talk politics, but I'm saying that he shouldn't talk politics on such a big stage with so many young people who follow him, right? Like he makes more money than probably this entire town combined lifetime, right? Like he makes it in like one game. And he's talking about oppression and being like, then donate your money to causes, you know, don't go on and protest the game that paid you all this money. Take your money that you're making millions and billions of dollars and do something
and
with
feed
it.
The poor.
Right, like, and that's why your opinion means nothing because actions don't back up your opinion. Yeah, maybe he donates some money, but he's still richer than God. Like, he could donate a whole lot more, and he could do a whole lot more for the community than trying to stir up issues. Mm-hmm. Right, like, he takes some of that money and pours it into these Black communities. That there's a lot of them that are underprivileged. There's a lot of communities around the country that are underprivileged because of the system itself holding them back. So. He could literally change communities, but instead he goes on Twitter or Instagram and talks about the racism and stirs up issues and then takes his private security home to his multi-million dollar mansion with security everywhere and protected behind his walls and talks about being oppressed.
Right.
So not really sure how we went off on that topic.
Dr. Oz.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Oz.
And his magazines, but okay.
Dr. Oz. But yeah, it's... Dr. Oz to me is not to be trusted. And he wasn't to be, in my opinion, trusted when he was on TV as a doctor. You know, he was a legitimate heart doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He did heart surgeries. He was a legitimate doctor. But when he went on, you know, he became buddy-buddy with Oprah and then went on and got his own show. And then how as a doctor do you push something new on your show weekly? Right? That's not like... Each week it was something new, or I don't know how often the show came out, but like it was, you know, green tea. I remember like he was a big proponent of taking these green tea pills. Like he's obviously getting paid to push this stuff, right? Like as a doctor, it would be a really boring show to go up there every week and say, eat healthy, exercise, get enough sleep, drink enough water, stress reduce through meditation or whatever. Like, but.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sell shows, it doesn't sell products, and he doesn't get richer. So that's why I don't trust the guy.
I remember one time I went into Acme and I asked for kale because I use it in my juice.
Right.
And the guy is so grumpy. He's like, ever since Dr. Oz told people to eat kale, it's gone all the time. And it was like, well, don't group me in with that. I've never seen it. I just buy it weekly.
Right.
But he's right. Dr. Mm-hmm. Oz says eat kale. Everybody eats kale. Dr. Right. Oz says eat your blueberries. Everybody eats blueberries.
Right. Imagine if you like could use that power for good.
For some good.
And just like every week you're on TV, you just talk about
right
eating healthy and not like a specific thing, right? And just gave people actually like plans. Like, hey, this week I'm going to walk you through what a healthy day looks like. Like, mm-hmm. eat this, eat that, balance. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure he had some shows doing that, but
I never watched it. I don't even know. Is it a morning show, an afternoon, like an Ellen show? Like,
I don't know. I would assume it was one of those. I haven't,
like a morning
I don't really watch
thing?
It either. Yeah. Well, I mean,
like
that's
eight or nine?
That's the demographic. Like my yeah. mother, like yes. 10 years ago, my mother, yes. like she did everything Dr. Oz said. Like she loved Dr. Oz. Like, oh, he's such a nice, like, yeah, yeah, he's such a nice guy on TV and he plays a doctor. Yes, right. He was a doctor in real life, but he's not anymore. He's an actor on TV selling you products that they push to sell or messages that they want you to hear. So I don't know. I don't trust anybody. Get them all out.
Yeah.
Get all the politicians out, all the actors out, all the, you know, sports figures out and yeah. start over.
Yeah, or just don't listen to them. That's the problem. People pay attention to them. You got to ignore it. You got to shut that stuff down and be like, who are you?
Right.
You're a great actor.
Right.
Tom Hanks, you do great in everything you do. Let's stick with that.
Right. Great. Awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Go.
Move on.
You know what? Can I speak? You want to make an impact? Look at the Klitschko brothers. So the Klitschko brothers are professional boxers, maybe like the best boxers like around. Like they've been I'm not a boxing historian or whatever. I don't really know a ton about it, but like they're both very impressive professionals.
Okay.
Heavyweights, like heavyweight champ, and they're both over in Ukraine fighting for the government, for the
yeah.
army or whatever. They're over there like they're walking the walk, like
yeah.
they're supporting their, like if we go to war, you think LeBron James is gonna right. go fight?
Oh, absolutely.
Hell no. Hell no.
Who was the NFL guy who actually died?
Yeah, Tillman or something like that.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that, you have so much respect for those people. To walk away from a life of an NFL quarterback or whatever he was,
yeah. well, look
to
at,
go over.
But I mean, that was the norm, right? Look at World War II. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Major League Baseball yeah. basically shut down, right? That's how the whole
yes.
league of whatever.
Yes.
Or,
yeah, the women's league.
Yeah. The hell is that movie called?
Hang on.
League
of Their Own?
League of Their Own.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, yes.
But that's how that whole thing came about because
yeah.
basically.
The men were gone.
They were gone fighting. Like the.
Could you imagine that in today, right?
It wouldn't happen.
Imagine that
These
today.
These guys are worth too much money. They give them too much money. You know, it wouldn't work. The guys who are going there, like my father used to work at Yogi Berra and Phil Rizzuto's bowling alley. Like they had a bowling
oh, cool.
alley in the off season. Like we all know who Yogi Berra and Phil Rizzuto, mm-hmm, at least mm-hmm. the names are. When they were playing, they had a bowling alley. They had to work other jobs in the off season
yeah.
because they were only
they
an athlete.
Right.
They were entertainers. They were athlete, and you know, half the year you get to do something for fun and get paid, but then you got to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not the show, but look at how much it costs to go to a game. Like it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
It's terrible.
It's horrible.
It's terrible.
I'm not paying for that.
No.
And I'd much rather go to a Patriots game anyway because there's more going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tomorrow night, actually, it's funny. So they were going to the Sussex County Miners game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the local – that's changed hands a bunch. Yeah, the place is awesome.
Love
I grew
it.
Up with it as the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah.
Yeah, and they were the affiliate for the St. Louis Cardinals, the mm-hmm. major league team. And it's changed hands. It's you know, gotten shut down and opened back up again.
Yeah.
It's good to see them doing well because
yeah,
the little local, and it's like,
love it. Love
like
it.
You're driving through like farms and then there's a little minor league stadium
yeah.
or independent stadium. So
is it remember the Chatterbox?
Yeah, it's right across. It used to be. Now it's a Wawa.
No.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is?
Chatterbox closed down like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
That used to be when I had my motorcycle. That was a big Sunday thing. Everybody would ride out there.
Yeah.
It's gone and it's a Wawa?
It's a Wawa, and then literally right across the street is a Quick Check.
Oh.
So that corner is Wawa and Quick Check.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And then the stadium.
And then the stadium, yeah.
Oh, man.
So,
ugh.
Yeah, that's gone.
What a shame.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to the game tomorrow night with my
fine.
Father.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. And Vicky's going.
Okay.
If
that'll
you're
be
around,
fun.
Say you guys should come, but you got to go up to the lake.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Yuppies.
Yeah.
all right. Well, I guess we should get to
all right,
we've
yes.
been 14 minutes, you know, rant about stuff that people probably don't care about.
These are how our conversations
Hopefully, if you're still with us and you want to hear about nutrition and depression, we'll talk about that right now.
All right. So I picked up this magazine. It's an Eating Well magazine, Eating for Happiness, and it's called the subtitle is The Gut-Mind Connection, Intuitive Eating, Dining Together, and the Joy of Indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
So all interesting, but the thing that kind of came out to me was the gut-mind connection.
Right.
And then I kind of started reading through it more and more, and they started talking about the association with depression. So mm-hmm. then I started thinking about you and your story, and then I started to think, like, you know, what was your nutrition like? And, you know, ever since mm-hmm. I've known you, you've been pretty clean as far as eating goes. I mean, sure, everybody has, you know, fast food here or there or pizza. But, you know, for the most part, since I've known you 7 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
you haven't, you've had a pretty clean diet. So can you look back? Like, let's talk about your battle with depression, when you noticed it starting,
mm-hmm.
and can you correlate a diet to it at all?
Yes and no. So I don't know when it started, because I wasn't really aware of it until I really opened up Next Gen. I already failed one business. I was going through a divorce. I was 25 and going through a lot of shit, sleeping on the couch there at the gym because mm-hmm. I couldn't tell my parents I was going through a divorce because I was embarrassed about it. So that was really kind of like my quote unquote rock bottom, as they mm-hmm. say. I guess it's not that bad of a rock bottom compared to others, but for me, that was like I was dead broke, sleeping on a couch, and you know, in my business, and getting divorced, et cetera. So I started really doing a lot of mindset exploration, I guess, like mm-hmm. trying to figure myself out, because I was always, you know, a thinker, but you know, about like baseball and stuff. Like I would,
not
if you look
feelings.
Through all these books, like over here, I got like a gazillion baseball books. Like I'm someone who dives into things and wants to know everything about it. But, baseball for me was kind of like my, escape, I guess. It was my, not my reality, but it was my identity. It was like who I was. And then, you know, when that didn't really work out and I failed my first business, I was going through a divorce. Like I had no idea. Like I was really lost as a person. And, that's when I kind of, you know, start to really understand the symptoms of depression and how it's been there essentially my whole life and how it's been something that's been holding me back my whole life. And I didn't really realize it. So when it started, I don't know. I could tell you when I was younger, I definitely ate differently than I, you know, ate as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot more quicker, more processed, macaroni was like our go-to in the house. Like it was easy. My father, mother, and I, we didn't like sit down and have dinners together. Like we didn't sit down at the dining room table and all eat together, like only on holidays. Like mm-hmm. we would sit together in front of the TV on the couch with our trays and like eat. So like it wasn't ever anything that was like for us, big ritual or anything.
Okay.
So it was always just like, what are you in the mood for? What's easy? You know, my dad ate differently than my mom and I just ate whatever they put in front of me because, mm-hmm. you know, I pretty much like everything. So I know my diet then was very much more processed, much more carb, like simple carb, mm-hmm. like bad wheat, like non-nutrient dense food.
Right.
So I know that now when I have a quote unquote bad day in terms of eating wise, so like I eat the wrong stuff, it's a cheat day as some people call it, or cheat meal, I definitely feel the effects of it afterwards. So like the next day, I'm definitely much more sluggish. I'm definitely not nearly as focused. My motivation is way down. I really got to push myself through the days
mm-hmm.
after I fall off track. And that feeling is a lot of what I was feeling my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I really remember being like, what is wrong with me? Like, I'm always exhausted. Like I can't, like we would go to the water park in the summer and like, I just didn't want to go because like it was more work.
It was a lot of work.
And it wasn't like I was out of breath exhausted.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't like out of shape. I just like I just didn't, I'd rather lay in bed. And it was just like, ugh, the thought of getting up and, you know, being social and going with my friend. I mean, I'm going with my friends in the summer. Like, it's supposed to be a fun thing.
Right,
like,
right.
So, you know, that's the type of feeling I get now when I eat like crap or I over drink. You know, like last Sunday, we had softball. It was my first game there for the fall, Sunday morning. Then we went out to lunch afterwards at the bar. And, you know, I'm drinking all day from like 9 a.m. on. And, you know, I stopped before I, you know, went home. But the effects of it mentally, the next morning I woke up, I didn't want to get out of bed at all. I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to do anything. Like, and it wasn't the hangover from the booze. I wasn't, I didn't drink enough to be hungover. It was depression feeling that came from the after effects of the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't pinpoint specifics. I can now, because I know, like, when I eat clean, when I keep my food nutrient-dense, whole foods, when I stay away from grains, like, I'm not an anti-carb guy at all, but, like, healthy grains I'll eat every now and then, oats, but, like, I really try to just stay as clean as I can. If I look at the ingredients label and it has more than one ingredient, I probably will pass on it. Yeah. That's so when I'm in a good, consistent streak of eating well, exercising, it's a big part of it. I feel the difference when I don't do that. Right. So like for my whole life, it felt like normal. Like that's how I felt. Like like even though I exercised for sports or ever, like my diet was not that good until I started working here at Next Gen actually, or opening Next Gen. So I can definitely correlate now the after effects of what I feel versus how I felt for the first 25 years of my life, essentially. But diet, you know, I mean, studies show, there's so many studies, I've talked about a bunch of them. You talked about that book. Studies show that diet plays a huge role in depression. And I think nowadays, so let me just clarify with depression. Now, I think there's a lot of lifestyle-induced depression nowadays versus chemical and balanced depression. And is there a difference? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm on medication for depression. I've been taking medication for 5 years now, 4 years now. And it definitely makes a big difference for me. If I go off of it, I'm much more anxious. I'm much more moody. I'm much more impulsive. You know, I can't really control my feelings as well. So, like, I'll get angrier quicker. Like, I'll snap a lot quicker. Like, I don't do that now. I don't, even when I get angry, I don't really express it. I think about it before I express myself. But if I'm not consistently taking medication, I just react. I'm much more impulsive. And so, like, through going to the doctor, speaking to psychiatrists, et cetera, I was diagnosed with a depression. And it is definitely very real for a lot of people. But I also think that a lot of people are lifestyle-induced depression, where eating poorly, eating nutrient-absent food, right, ultra-processed, highly processed, not getting enough sleep, not getting enough, drinking enough water, all of that will cause you to be depressed. And it makes you, not only does it make you feel like sluggish, right, just eating like crap makes you feel sluggish, which then in turn makes you not want to do things, which then in turn makes you more depressed.
Yeah,
and
it's
a vicious
cycle.
Right?
Absolutely.
But the whole, if you read that, I don't know if it was the, I guess it was the article on that, the whole gut brain connection, the gut microbiome, all the gut is actually, they call it the second brain. And in fact, there's a lot more coming out about it now, the more they study it, showing how important it is for not only digestion, but for your mental health, for your energy, for everything. Like your gut, they say, has a lot more impact in our life than, you know, what we actually are aware of. So long story short, I now know the difference, being mindful and being not obsessive, but being constantly aware of my how I feel. I now do see and feel the difference. I could eat the perfect diet forever, and there'll still be days where I wake up and I just it's more than just feeling mm-hmm. like shit. It's mm-hmm. feeling like the world's crushing you. Like, but you got to fight through it, you right. know, and eating properly, exercising regularly, trying to get enough sleep, but doing all the right things helps that.
Right. Like, and this is, we're not saying this is in place of taking medicine or seeing no. a therapist or going to a doctor, but it could be a big help in the process.
Absolutely. Well, I think you were telling me this study where it was a certain amount of people who were tested for the, yeah. their lifestyles, and 50% of them, or there's a 50% increase yes. Of
felt better right. after changing their diet
right.
over 12 weeks.
Right. So
just to eating clean.
Right. It all goes hand in hand. And
it's not going to hurt, right?
We can no. And it
basically start off with that.
Right. Exactly. And it should be part of it because there are definite benefits to combining your nutritious and healthy diet with the medication if you are someone who is on medication. Mm-hmm. But something that while we were, you know, kind of looking into this topic, something I came across is, now this has to do with depression, but the WHO, the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. our favorite people, but in this article, I'll post this article in our show notes, but they said chronic lifestyle-driven non-communicable diseases are now the largest contributors to early mortality in developed and developing countries. So basically obesity, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a non-communicable. I guess start using
that's
easier
a tough
words.
Word, yeah.
You know, so now depression isn't considered a non-communicable disease, but also according to the WHO, depression now imposes the largest burden of illness in middle and high income countries. Hmm. Now, so that tells you a lot, in my opinion. What I hear when I read that is it's lifestyle, right? It's what you eat. It's like middle and high income countries. They don't have to worry about right. hunting their food or going right. walking 2 miles to pick berries or whatever. Like it's on a platter, you mm-hmm. know? So, to me that's right there says a lot about depression, and how, you know, like if it's the highest now, it's now the highest burden for people who have all the resources, mm-hmm. right? Then are resources really the key to happiness?
Right.
Right. Obviously not,
no.
not according to science.
Right.
Yeah, so it's over the past, 2.5 years now, I think depression has like skyrocketed.
Do you want to know which rate has the highest depression?
Sure.
In percentage? You want to guess? Out of the United States?
Out of the United States? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Washington as the first one.
Oregon.
I was going to say Oregon. I was going between Washington and Oregon.
God. When you started with the yes, I was like,
I was yeah.
Yes, 25.20%.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You want to know the second one? Because I thought the second one was interesting.
New York.
No, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
West Virginia at 24%. Yeah, that really was weird to me.
Because
they're all, I don't know, I just feel like a family atmosphere thing going on.
Obviously
there.
Not.
And the
I
reason,
think of incest when I think of West Virginia.
Well, all right. Well, yeah. Okay.
So maybe these mountain people are depressed because they can't get anything outside their family.
Right,
sorry if you're from West Virginia. Just a joke. I'm not.
But the reason I looked this up was because I, you know, what came very clear to me, I don't know if it was a thing at the time, but vitamin D
mm-hmm.
Is very, very big as far as helping fight depression.
Yep.
And most people, and this, I swear, came to light during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I associate COVID with vitamin D spike or whatever.
Right.
So I wanted to see the difference between New Jersey and like Florida,
okay.
right? Every time my brother goes to Florida, he's like, everybody's just so happy there. You know,
right.
everybody's just so happy. So, but it really didn't pan out because, let's see, Florida is number 45. So we're going down.
Okay.
So Florida has 15, we'll say 16%.
All right.
And New Jersey, we're number 49. So we're lower than Florida
right.
on the scale at 13%.
I call bullshit on that.
You want to guess what the lowest?
Hawaii.
There you go.
I call bullshit
there
on that too.
There you go. You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
I don't know, not to get back into politics, but Hawaii has been a shit show of lockdowns, and people are really upset over there. There's a lot of people living there that are pretty upset with the way it's being run.
Oh, so I don't know anything about that.
Like, people couldn't come and go for a long time from the islands.
Really?
Now they can, obviously, but I don't know. It's...
All right, that's another show.
But anyway, like, I don't.
All right, so you're calling.
I'm calling bullshit
you're calling
on that.
Bullshit on this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really expecting to see like Florida, you know, lower, and Jersey in the middle.
Right. Right. But with that being said, even though you do spend time in the sun, that doesn't mean you're getting enough vitamin D. You know, I always recommend supplementing with vitamin D, especially if you're not spending any time in the sun.
Right.
When I go for my walks, well, now that I do them at like 4 in the morning, I don't do anymore. But if I go out in the middle of the day, I always take my shirt off, like try to get as much sun and as much color as I can because of the vitamin D. I think that vitamin D has been the benefits of vitamin D has kind of been suppressed over time, because I think if people actually had sufficient levels of vitamin D, there's a lot of medications that people could probably get off of. But vitamin D definitely plays a huge role in depression and immunity and, you know, energy and a whole lot of stuff. But depression, sticking with this topic, it's proven, you know, low vitamin D levels goes hand in hand with depression.
There's such a thing as a winter blues. You know, we're outside all summer long. Definitely. And then what happens in January, February, March, April? God, you're just dying to go outside.
Yeah.
It just hits you.
Yep. I got a SAD light that I use. I forgot what SAD stands for.
That sounds really sad.
Yeah. But it's a light for the winter months, because you don't get enough sunlight.
Yeah.
And it's for to help people with depression.
Can you get a suntan from this light?
No. All it's right. But it, like, having a light, the type of light in your eyes, like, helps.
The production of vitamin D.
Well, not necessarily vitamin D, but helps because it's serotonin, or, you know, the hormones that work with depression or control depression and happiness and mood. Let's see, SAD light. I'll look it up right now real quick, because I'm sure everyone who's listening wants to hear me Google SAD light. Seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, light. There you go. Winter blues.
Yep. So I don't know how much it does, but if it does,
how long are you sitting? I remember you talking about this a while ago, over the winter. How long are you sitting there?
10 minutes, like 20 minutes. When I'm doing my schedule for the morning,
your morning stuff.
Yeah. Google says, actually, this is from Healthline, says Healthline.com. SAD lamps simulate sunlight, which helps trigger the brain to release serotonin, often called the feel good hormone. Studies show that using light therapy during periods when daylight hours are short can help adjust your circadian rhythm, the body's process for regulating your sleep-wake cycle. So, not necessarily vitamin D, but along the same line. I think light plays a huge role in our health and our mental health. Like sunlight, like natural sunlight. If you look at all, like, even like the ancient like religions and shit, they all talk about like the sun being the center of life, like the creator of life. And you know, I think there's a lot to be said about getting some actual uninterrupted sunlight, meaning not with a bunch of chemicals on your skin blocking the sun. But we'll also save that for maybe next summer, because we're going into fall now, so nobody's probably gonna be wearing sunscreen. But yeah, so I definitely, with my personal experience, I know diet plays a huge role. Might not not curing depression, but definitely helping to live with it and to manage it, because that's what it is. It's not like a broken arm where it heals and goes away. Right. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be something that you got to deal with and manage. And more people have it than don't at this point. You know, again, I think a lot of it is a lifestyle induced. You know, I don't think from the pandemic, from the lockdowns, and I don't think all of a sudden this many more people have a imbalance in their chemical structure, right? I think it might be caused by their eating improperly, not exercising, et cetera, et cetera. So those things will definitely help.
Yeah. You know, I have a trial in this week, and they're really neat. Like, I instantly connected with this person, and I instantly knew that this was the place for them.
Right.
So I texted them yesterday saying, hey, you know, looking forward to seeing you at your nighttime session, and I never heard back. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was weird, but the coach did hear back.
Okay.
When they sent the confirmation text. So, okay, whatever. So I was excited to see them come in the door, and they kind of let me know that they had a hard day before of therapy, and that sometimes the day after therapy is really hard for them. Because they go, and she goes, I didn't want to come in. I wasn't going to come in. I didn't want to respond to your text because I didn't want to let you down.
Right.
And, you know, she was like, it took everything I had to come in. And I go, well, I guarantee after this session, you're going to feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
Absolutely.
You know, she was like, I am so glad I came in. I feel 100 times better. And I was like, you just, you know, and again, the nighttime energy, Christina was on the floor. It was like such a fun night. And right. I was so glad that she came in because that's exactly what she needed. And like, and she, you could just see, she was like, felt so good.
Yeah.
She felt so good. And I was so happy to be able to show her that when you do feel that way and you're starting to go negative,
right,
just come in. I don't care if you come in and drink coffee. Like, I don't care if you come in, if there's no sessions, like, just let us know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And that's, personally, a big part of my mission here is because there's a lot of people who do struggle with that, and I understand how working out and eating right can make such a positive impact on dealing with depression and dealing with mental health issues in general, and just everything in life, like stress in life. Your famous line is that you never, you know, regret your workout, right? Mm-hmm. You never leave a workout
absolutely
and saying, shit, I wish I didn't go there.
Right.
You know, so that's exactly, you go, just like we talk about with results and nutrition, and you know, it's about consistency and the long haul, and thinking about not right now, but how I'm gonna feel later on. Like not eating this, you know, candy bar right now because I really don't need it, but my mind tells me mm-hmm. I want it, but later on I'll regret it. Well, it's just the same thing. You know, when you're dealing with depression, there's days where you don't like feel like you could physically get off the couch or out of bed. But if you do and you push yourself to do it and you get a workout in, even if it's not the best workout, even if you're just barely going through the motions, barely mm-hmm. breaking a sweat, I'll guarantee you afterwards you will feel at least 5% better.
Right.
Right? You're never going to leave, you know, feeling worse than when you came in. And that's, you know, my I hope it is mine, but, you know, like my father has dealt with depression forever, apparently, too. And I... Now I'm playing the role with him because he trains in martial arts mm-hmm. and that's, he does it. He was doing it like 5 days a week, 6 days a week. But now he's 75 and he's doing it, you know, 2-3 days a week, which is awesome. He's mm-hmm. an hour and a half workout for 2-3 days a week at 75 years old.
That's great.
But there's a lot of days where I call him up and he's like, I don't think I'm going tonight. I just don't feel like it. I have no energy. I'm not motivated. I don't feel like even getting out of bed. And I try to just push them to go.
So yeah.
I said, you know, once you start giving better. Into that, it's going to be a lot easier to give into it again the next time and the next time. And then before you know it, you're, I'm 76. I don't want to train anymore
right.
when you can. And it's just the depression of where his life is at right now that's stopping him,
mm-hmm.
you know? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's just a little personal, you know, anecdote of it happens to a lot of people. But you got to push through it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard it is, you got to push through it because you're only going to get worse if you don't. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's and I think a huge piece of this is being aware, of being self-aware.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, it was funny. We had that call. You and I had a call on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And my day was crazy. I was here at 5 o'clock in the morning. I left here at 11. I went to Walmart and the bank. I had 1 hour before our meeting. We had mm-hmm. our meeting. So then it was typical. I was like starving and I was threw something in the microwave. But while I was in the microwave, there was that bag of Cheesy Poofs. And I ate it
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed it. And I ate probably like 3 times the amount I should have. And then I ate whatever it was. I think it was ground turkey. And then I followed up with chocolate, like not the dark chocolate, probably mm-hmm. like a little Kit Kat kind of thing.
Right.
And I felt like shit the whole afternoon. I was laying on the couch. I could not like... Mm-hmm. get out of this like fog I had, and I'm like, this is all because of what I ate.
Right.
This is all because of what I ate.
Yeah.
And the next day I felt great because I was, you know, I was back on schedule or whatever. But, you know, it's always it's important with sugar, right? As soon as you get that first taste of sugar, the rest of your day, you're going to be craving it.
Right.
And that's what happened with those Cheesy Poofs. I went down like this hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they
get addicted.
They completely took me over.
Right.
And I was starving and I was like, I love these things. And
yeah, no, I get it. I think everybody understands that.
Entire day.
Yeah.
Entire day. I was so like draggy. Mm-hmm. I'm laying on the couch when the kids came home. Like, that's the worst.
Right. Right. Well, remember, insulin is a hormone too. Right. Mm-hmm. So just like serotonin, insulin's a hormone that's affected by the things you eat and your diet. And hormones don't work, you know, individually.
Right.
They work hand in hand. So when your insulin's up, you know, your cortisol levels are up. So like there's a lot of things that, play a role in that. That's exactly what I'm talking about when it says, when I say lifestyle induced depression. Mm-hmm. Like now imagine if you ate like that every day.
Well, I know.
Right?
That's how a lot of people eat. I would be so lazy.
Yeah. That's how 70% of the people eat. Right? And then that creates depression when...
Right. You don't feel like getting off the couch to do anything and mm-hmm. you look at your house and your laundry's piling up and like I can't imagine.
Yep.
You're just digging yourself in a hole.
Right.
And it's like we said, it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. Yep. Yeah. And it could be helped and the cycle could be broken by cleaning up your diet,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
eating whole foods.
Yep.
Not saying you're going to be Krusty the Clown or whatever, laughing at everything after, like, your depression's not going to be gone because you're eating healthy. But it will definitely, like I say about the medication, I try to get my dad to take it. He's like very anti, mm-hmm. He's very old school. I don't even take it. It's just taking the edge off. It's not, it does is take the edge off and helps you get through the harder times. Like it's not a cure. You know, eating right is not a cure. Working out is not a cure. Everything in combination mm-hmm. helps you get to a better place.
Right.
You know, so.
And it doesn't have to be, here's my little plug. It doesn't have to be, you know, overwhelming. Just start by, when you go food shopping, staying in the outside of the store. That's mm-hmm. all you gotta do. Just your fruits and vegetables, your fish, your seafood, your meats,
right.
your dairy. Just stay on the outside. Right. Just stay on the outside. Start with that by whatever you like there. Stay away from the inside.
It's a good tip.
Processed food. Yeah.
Because all that stuff on the inside is sitting on the shelves and meant to sit on the shelves and not expire. So they have to put things in there so that happens. So I think it's a really good point. And you mentioned fish, omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for depression too.
Yep.
People who... do deal with depression should be very conscious of their omega-3s and making sure, I mean, everyone should be, it's super important for all other, for heart health or like there's a lot of other things. But just, you know, discussing this topic alone when it comes to depression, omega-3s plays a huge role in that too. So make sure that you're looking out for your levels of that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Good talk. I like this one.
Yeah. We went a little bit longer today, going over 40 minutes. So if you're some of the people who've requested a shorter show, we apologize. Hopefully you hung on and listened to us from, that rant in the beginning to actual useful information.
Hang in there. We do come around.
Yeah. But as per usual, we really do appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening to the show. We appreciate you sharing the show. If you like it, please share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram or whatever. Screenshot us and post it. Put it in your story. Tell your friends and family to subscribe to us. And if you do like the show, give us a 5-star review, please. Pretty soon, we'll start reading off some 5-star reviews. So we need some to read some. So,
oh, nice. I like that, Mike.
Well, we do need something to read somewhere else. We'll be reading them for like 2 weeks. And, and that's going one a day. So, we would appreciate it. It helps us grow our audience and helps us reach more people and help more people.
I actually got a text this morning from someone who really appreciated our Weight Watchers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What episode was that?
What number?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was probably like 10 ago.
All right. Well, you got to prepare if you're gonna bring it up.
So
go back and listen to episode number 69 or whatever it is.
It's titled Weight Watchers, though. It was when we were doing our diet series.
Yeah. All right. So one of those in the series. One of those throughout the 6 weeks we talked about Weight Watchers. So
sorry, everyone. I'll try and be more prepared.
Hey, this is episode 78. You know, we're just still getting started at this. We got to still learn and figure it out. But that's it. Kel, anything you want to finish on?
No. That's if you do decide to do the challenge and shop on the outside of the supermarket, let me know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I really like that.
Yeah. You can reach her on Instagram. So the best place to get you.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere. Text, anywhere. Email, Instagram, Facebook.
Okay.
Come to Next Gen. Go to the Next Gen website. Hit contact me.
Yeah. Well, if you go to the Next Gen website, nextgenerationtrainingcenter.com, you can find all Kelly's information there. You could hit me up on Instagram at @Mike_Ercolano. I will get back to you in like 3 days if you message me there.
Yeah. Message me if you want to talk to Mike. I'll get
yeah. If you want to email me, I'll get back to you in 5 days. If you call me, I probably will never call you back. So just get in contact with Kelly because I am the most disorganized person with my contacts and everything. So, yeah, I guess we're finishing the show the way we started it by going off of rants. And so we'll end it right there. Thank you again for listening. Please leave us a review. And until next time, guys, please be well.